The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. May God bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart.
Amen.
Well, I feel like this passage has really been lived out well by All Saints Episcopal Church. Kate and I have felt so welcomed. And that's what this gospel passage is all about, is making sure that we welcome one another and that we welcome people as though we are welcoming Christ. And Christ said, "When you welcome me, you welcome the Father." And so this is a beautiful passage that I believe you are living out. And so from the bottom of my heart and Kate's heart, I know as well, thank you for the warm welcome that you have given us. We are so grateful. But thank you, Esther. But if you're like me, I need to work on welcoming a little bit. It's really easy, in some ways, to welcome a new rector or to welcome those that are oftentimes very much like us or have similar interests to us. But where we really need to work on this sometimes is welcoming everybody in our lives, right? And Jesus is giving us a good reminder here to help us understand and remind us that everyone is in the image of God. And so the idea here is that Jesus is letting us know very quickly that we need to understand who we are welcoming. And that's the first letter we're going to use here. That's the first point, rather, to help us remember what welcoming looks like. It's understanding that every single person is in the image of God, the Imago Dei. And when we see the value in people, it helps us remember how they need to be welcomed. And so when we think about this idea of being welcoming, it reminds me of people that were very welcoming in my life that I never even met, some of them. So I'm going to tell you a story. This is a 100% true story. Not a typical preacher story. So I was in Bible college, and I was going to upstate New York. I was from the Seattle area, and I was pretty poor. My dad was a wonderfully generous man. He's with the Lord now, but had decided to not support my desire to go in the ministry. He was very supportive in many other ways, but did not support my education, and that was fine, and he was a good father. But I had to pay for this on my own. So I saved up all of this money. I worked for a year, and I was going to drive to upstate Pennsylvania and finish my Bible college career in the Scranton area. And I had purchased from my dad our 1976 Suburban truck, and I had a big loaf of bread and peanut butter and jelly for my meals. I'm not kidding you. You know how it was back then. And I had about $500 to pay for all of the gas to get me from the Seattle area to upstate Pennsylvania. But I didn't have money for hotels. So what I did was I went through church directories and called churches along the way, five different churches for five different nights. And I called pastors and asked if there would be a family that would take me in while I traveled the country to get to the college that I needed to be at. And all of these families welcomed me with open arms. In fact, some of them I never even met. I would get into the town. I remember in Montana, one of my first stops, I stopped in this town in the middle of the night. It took me so long to get there. They weren't even up. They had a note on the table. They left the door unlocked. They had cereal and milk out for me so that I could feed myself breakfast, and I never even met them. And then I got on my way the next day. That is welcoming. They understood that even though I was just a college kid, they saw the value in me and what I was doing, and they showed hospitality and received me. That's actually what the word welcome means in this passage. It means to actually receive somebody. And that's what these people did. And so when it comes to even our baptismal vows, remind us to see Christ in others. Remember that? And that's the idea of welcoming, is understanding that every single person, no matter how different they may be, they are in the image of God. So the second point is that we need to make sure that we welcome people unconditionally. Now, this gets to a little bit of the harder part, right? Now, if you want to make your new priest happy, please never say to me, "Oh, Michael, we've got to get this guy or this lady in the church because they make some good money." I never want to hear that, okay? We want anybody, well, unless they're Jeff Bezos, then we'll take the money. But you get the idea. Everybody is valuable. And we need to love and welcome completely unconditionally. Now, the value thing, that one's easy to understand, and hopefully we wouldn't place values on people. This was even happening in the time of Jesus. Remember in the gospel where he was talking about how some people would get seated in the synagogue? They would come in with rings and fine linens, and they would usher them, "Oh, here's the front seat in the synagogue." May we never do that. And now, unfortunately, in the church, the highest value seats are the ones in the back, typically. It's not like a sports game, right? You pay more for the front seats. These are on a discount at church, right? You know, but you get the idea. We cannot value people's income or what we think that they might have to offer. Certainly, we see people's gifts and abilities, and we value them. But that can never allow us to elevate our welcome somehow for one person over another. We have to love and welcome unconditionally. But then, it's not just people's checkbooks that we shouldn't be looking at or concerned with. It's also how much they are like us or different from us. You know, years ago, Kate had an early identifiable pin that she would always wear. It got her some conversations over the months and years. She had an Obama Mama pin. Cute pin, it was great. Whether someone comes in the doors of All Saints Episcopal Church with an Obama Mama pin or a red hat, they need to be welcomed unconditionally. And so this idea of understanding that they bear the image of God and welcoming them unconditionally needs to be a part of not only our church, but also our personal life. And sometimes that bridge of getting to know someone and showing kindness, and did you notice the passage ends with this idea of giving a cool glass of water? That was a beautiful thing to do, especially at this time in the Middle East. Kate and I just got back from Europe. You know, they don't use a lot of ice over there. You really have to ask for it in Europe. But to have a cool glass of water in the Middle East at this time took some effort. And that's the third point. We understand the image of God in everybody that we welcome. We love and welcome unconditionally. And we make sure that our welcome is unmistakable. You see, that cool glass of water to somebody, a disciple that was visiting, or anyone, was unmistakably a welcoming gift and an expression of love to someone. And we need to make sure to do the same thing. whatever it may be. Maybe it's a kind handshake. My wife's a hugger. She loves to give a hug. But the idea is that a welcome is truly complete when the person understands our welcome. It's not enough to say, oh, I waved, or I sent a letter, or something like that. It needs to be something that is from us that is understood to be a welcome and a sign of our love and appreciation. I love what it says in the book of James. It says, pure and undefiled love before God is this, to take care of orphans and widows in their need. What a beautiful passage. But the idea of that is that you take care of those that can't always give back. Now, we know that orphans and widows and widowers can be very generous and certainly be involved in a church. But the idea that James was getting at is we give without any expectation of something coming back. And we unmistakably let people know that regardless of whether they give or not, they are welcome. Sometimes before the offering, you might hear me say, if you're visiting with us, don't feel like you have to give. This is how our family takes care of the lights and each other and buys bread for sandwiches, the PBJ ministry, that kind of thing. But you might hear me say that because I don't expect anything. We want that welcome to be unmistakable. That regardless of what you can give, you are loved and welcome here and in our lives. Now, I want to tell you a story about a devout Christian man who had a dear friend. He wanted this friend to join him at church, and he would invite him over the years, not a high-pressure thing, but over and over he would invite his friend, and for years his friend would turn him down. And finally, this friend saw his friend in church. He was dressed in a beautiful suit. His hair was perfect. The suit, in fact, was even pressed. And there he was. And it reminded him in that moment of seeing his friend finally in church of the story that he finally told him as to why he had not been in church up until that point. He was a child. He was 10 years old, kind of a poor fellow. And he went to church without the help of his parents. He just went with some friends and went to Sunday school. And because he was poor, he had overalls that weren't very clean. He had slippers on, sandals, and he had some holes in his overalls. And the Sunday school teacher said to him, if you come back next Sunday, come back dressed better than that. Now, I think we're past the whole how you're dressed thing to come to church, right? We're past that, would we all agree? Wear whatever you want, and we're not going to complain about that. But our words and what we say and do mean things. And that man told him at 10 years old, when that Sunday school teacher told me that, I knew in my heart that I would never be in church again. Well, he was in church again. In a casket. In the front of the church. Dressed in a fine suit. His hair done. Just like the Sunday school teacher had asked him to do. Whatever it is that may have pushed someone in our lives, or even some of us, right? Some of us have had those experiences one way or another, especially our LGBTQ plus community. We've been shunned. We've been hurt before, right? Can we promise to each other and to ourselves and to our Lord that we will never allow someone to feel unwelcome in this place or in our lives again? Can we make that commitment to live as though the image of Christ is in everyone, because it is? Can we commit to love and welcome people unconditionally, regardless of the spectrum of how much they are like us or not? Can we perhaps love them unconditionally? And may we unmistakably make sure that they feel welcome and loved. May we never be someone that somehow communicates that you are less or unwelcomed in our church or in our lives. What if that Sunday school teacher, instead of that response, had said something like, "Pastor, I think that family needs help. I'd like to give towards that need." Or if she had gone to the pastor and perhaps gathered money of her own or for some other Sunday school teachers to care for the need. Or maybe she said to that child, "Thank you so much for coming and learning about Jesus and his love." That could have been very different. Friends, we all have people in our lives that need that welcome. And it might be your face and your smile and your hands and your hug that brings them back, whether it's to church or even just to a different place of life. May we be the instruments of God's welcome. If you're like me, there's a few ways that I personally need to work on being more welcome. I need to see God's image in some of the people that frustrate me. I need to be a little more unconditionally loving when I'm driving in traffic. And I need to be a little more unmistakable in letting people know that they mean something to me and they mean something to my God. What will being welcoming look like at All Saints? Oh, you've done a good job so far. Let's keep it up. But what will being welcoming look like in our individual lives? That's between you and the Lord. Amen.
Amen.